I have the pleasure of introducing Rick Davis, Acting Superintendent of Documents, and I understand when Rick's done, we will be available for questions and answers. Or I guess available for you to ask us questions, and we will answer them. Rick.
Good morning, everyone. I am Rick Davis. I'm the Acting Superintendent of Documents and the Director of the Library Services and Content Management Business Unit at GPO. And I want to speak on behalf of myself and the 106 great people that I have working with me in the business unit, many of whom are here today and a number of whom are back keeping things running in the office. I want to begin by welcoming again all of you to beautiful Tampa for the spring meeting. I also want to reiterate the many thanks to the University of Tampa, as well as the University of Florida, University of South Florida, LexisNexis, and Markhive for sponsoring the wonderful event at the University of Tampa last night. And I know many of you were able to attend, and I want to give you a round of applause. Rather than say this at the end, I usually like to start off by saying, not only am I available throughout this conference, but I'm always accessible via email. During these speeches, I think this is the only time that my BlackBerry is physically not connected. It's over here. I know many of you reach out to me a lot during the conference and after, and I want to encourage you, when you need help from GPO, we have a customer relationship management system, but I'm also always accessible at rdavis@gpo.gov, and please never hesitate to get in touch with me. Before we begin, I want to extend thanks to the esteemed council members who are ending their tenures this fall. Our Chair Tim Byrne, Denise Davis, Denise Stevens, Katrina Steerholtz, and Kendall Wiggin. Your service and dedication is appreciated, and I want to personally thank you. A couple of items of note. Bob mentioned the two critical sessions that we're having this afternoon. First, on how the partnership between depositories and GPO can thrive, and how the relationship between regionals and selectives can be strengthened. I encourage all of you to attend those sessions this afternoon. Two sets of questions related to those are going to be presented for discussion, and these will help drive near-term, mid-term, and long-term actions related to our strategic vision. Additionally, the questions are also in your meeting book. For persons not able to attend this session, we also have a web page where we're going to garner additional feedback, also from you after the conference if you'd like to submit additional comments. We're also going to be holding additional OPAL online programming for all libraries, OPAL sessions, as soon as we get back to GPO on these two sessions. And I look forward to more involvement from persons who, for economic or other reasons, were not able to make the event. Bob talked a bit about the budget. I'm happy to stand up here for the first time in 4 years and not say that we have flat funding for the salaries and expenses appropriation. And I want to thank, again, all of you who supported us in this process. H.R. 1105, the Omnibus Appropriations Act, provided funding for several very important initiatives. Bob mentioned the $1 million for FDCIS, which is very critical. Additionally, we had earmarked funds for several S&E initiatives. First, data storage. It is critical that GPO have adequate server storage to ensure space is available for the continual growth of the electronic collection. The data storage we require for additional content comes from increases in cataloged items and additional fugitive documents that we find with your help that we want to make available for permanent public access. Additionally, we have funding for FDLP outreach and online educational training. I mentioned OPAL, which we were able to procure for literally $800 to get us started. We now have some real funding to provide additional outreach. Robin is going to be working very closely on this, and she'll talk about it through the conference. We're going to be working with the Office of Personnel Management, their Training and Management Assistance Program, to develop comprehensive web-based educational training modules for use by depositories. I think this also will help in terms of training online that you may need associated with FDCIS as that continues to roll out. Bob mentioned funding for modernization of item selection systems and other mainframe-based applications. Of particular importance in that regard right now is a critical need in our depository distribution operation, the conveyor system. Some of these pieces that run the distribution system have literally been condemned by our engineering department. So we need some critical funding to upgrade from duct tape to hold these things together so that we can continue to distribute tangible items. As part of that process, Robin is going to speak more during the conference about some of the critical evaluations that she's leading of the distribution operation to improve processing of materials and making sure that you're getting the right product. In addition, we were very, very happy to see that we received $1 million for additional cataloging and indexing. For this and for all of these various initiatives, we've come up with spend plans that we're going to be sharing with you in the interest of transparency to make sure that we're spending these dollars in the right places to provide the optimal amount of product and service for the library community. Lori has put forward to me 9 separate projects associated with this $1 million, all with the goal of increasing acquisitions and cataloging of government resources and thereby promoting openness and transparency in government. In particular, those projects are devoted to continuing work on the historic shelf list, serials management, authority work for the CGP, historic shelf list digitization, and automatic record distribution, among other things. As Bob mentioned, we're very pleased with the work that's being done on FDSIS. The information on GPO access is in the process of being migrated to FDSIS, and this entire process is expected to be completed in mid-2009. You'll hear more about that tomorrow from the FDSIS team. At this point, the collections that are available in FDSIS include congressional bills, congressional documents, congressional hearings and the record, congressional reports, the Federal Register, public and private laws, and the compilation of presidential documents. The migration is continuing to occur on a collection-by-collection basis, and GPO access, as you see it today, will continue to remain available until this entire migration is complete. I want to speak for a minute about bulk data downloads as well. GPO has recently been called upon by Congress in the Joint Explanatory Statement on the Omnibus Appropriations Act to work closely with the Library of Congress, including the Congressional Research Service, and the Law Library of Congress to discuss access to bulk data. I know over the years, as we've done biennial surveys, there's been an increasing percentage of libraries who have had some interest in getting bulk data from GPO. Right now, of the 70 or 80 applications that we have available through GPO, we have about 7 of those that provide access to bulk data in a very convoluted, locator-coded, non-XML format, and I won't really go beyond that. But to address this request, a task force has been assembled with representatives from these various entities to look at how we can provide access to bulk data. We're going to be working very closely with these other organizations with our goal at GPO of making bulk data available in an easy-to-use format for those who want to retrieve it through GPO's federal digital system. FDSIS has been designed to support geographically dispersed content repositories. GPO will be seeking guidance from council and all of you on the requirements for how best we can make use of this information. And for me personally, I think this is the best of all worlds in terms of a future digital preservation model where information is housed at GPO, but we also look to you in partnership with us to house for permanent public access these digital collections for both access and preservation purposes. Next, I want to update you on some LSCM library unit specific initiatives. As Bob mentioned, each library in the FDLP brings something very special and unique to the world of government documents. As part of our promotion, marketing, and outreach program, GPO wants to shed light on these invaluable institutions that you have and highlight a different library each month. Beginning in May, GPO will be spotlighting a different library of the month on the FDLP desktop and also featuring it on the GPO.gov agency page. More information to come on that through our listserv and also through the desktop. In addition, we're working on developing a customer relations program. The goal of this initiative is to identify ways to improve services and communications with you as depository libraries. We're working with a contracted company called Outsell Incorporated that is helping us better categorize FDLP libraries and determine your unique needs based on library type. We're very fortunate to have Lee Watson Healy from Outsell here with us at the meeting. Lee, are you in the room by chance? Coming this afternoon? Okay. To learn more about what GPO is doing with Outsell and this customer relations effort, I encourage you to attend our session at 5:30 this afternoon. Next, I want to speak about the value of the FDLP. Over the years, one of the questions that has often been raised to me during events like this is, my library director, my dean, and others want to better understand, particularly in the digital age, what is the value of being in the Federal Depository Library Program. I encourage all of you to take a look at the value of the FDLP webpage we recently launched on the desktop, and I believe there's information about that in your handout packet as well. The page is intended to highlight the value of being a depository library, including the services that GPO provides to FDLP members and services that all of you as FDLP members provide to each other and the larger library world in terms of our network. GPO has used feedback from over the past year to develop as well this value proposition of what it means to be in the FDLP. This is a living document. I encourage all of you to take a look at it, and I appreciate your feedback that you could provide on that. Leading into that, GPO, working with the Depository Library Council, has also been working on developing a strategic plan leading up for the next 5 years to 2014. Three goals that we identified in developing this plan were, one, to develop new models for federal depository collections. Two, to develop new models for federal depository services. And last, to develop new models of communication for the federal depository community. Deliberations on the future of this program, again, will be going on this afternoon, and I encourage you to attend. Part of what I need to hear from all of you on is, where do we go in terms of additional budgetary funding requests going forward? I think it is very much a positive step that we received about $1.5 million for new capital expenditures this year, but what are going to be our needs the next 5 years going forward on an annual basis? And comments from the strategic plan will help drive that in terms of things that I ask for from Congress. Next, I want to give you a brief update on authentication. As many of you know by now, GPO is implementing digital signatures to certain electronic documents on GPO Access and through our federal digital system that establish GPO as the trusted information disseminator, but also provide an assurance that an electronic document has not been altered since disseminated by GPO. In this past year, we implemented an automated signing system for our public key infrastructure to ease the process of signing all of this content. We digitally signed and certified the FY 2009 budget, and we'll be doing the same with the 2010. We launched authenticated public and private laws, and in January of this year, after successful beta testing and feedback from all of you, we launched authenticated congressional bills as our first congressional application on GPO Access. What we're planning to do now is to continue signing, in particular, congressional content, and that'll be done through GPO's federal digital system, but we're also looking at how we can use authentication with you as library partners. Some of you have expressed an interest in having GPO authenticate content that you make available, particularly in partnership with GPO, and we'd like to really proceed forward on that and work with you as a partner in that process. Thanks. We need to talk after the meeting. Lori's going to go into more detail on our integrated library system during her presentation, but I wanted to give you sort of a high-level overview on some of the great initiatives that are underway with ILS. The ongoing capability of our Aleph 500 ILS enhances GPO's ability to perform the statutorily authorized functions of the FDLP, specifically related to the cataloging and indexing program. Recently, we've launched the administrative module enabling depositories to go in and edit your own directory information. The public interface to the new directory has been launched. We provide access to the CGP via a Z3950 communications protocol through which, among other things, you can go in and download bibliographic records. So you have access to go in and do that as libraries. We also created a requirements document and made a vendor selection for authorities cleanup and ongoing authority control. Additionally, we just completed vendor cleanup of controlled headings in 51,000-plus BIB and 42,000-plus authority records and reloaded those in the CGP. Coming later this year, we're going to have several additional enhancements based on feedback that I've received from all of you. First, implementation of a login page specifically for depository libraries to take advantage of authenticated services in the CGP. This will include configuration of the circulation module and creation of depositories as patrons. We're also going to have serials control check-in for individual serials issues. All active serials are the ultimate goal of that process. In addition, as a side note, not so much related to the ILS, but something that's been on the radar for all of us, in early June, we're going to be launching a new and enhanced web tech notes database that will, I think, greatly improve upon what we had in the past, and I thank you for your patience as we've developed that. Next, I'd like to say a few words about digitization. GPO has been working closely with the library community over the years, other federal agencies, and also the public on a national digitization project with the goal of digitizing all retrospective federal publications of the government. The project includes the digitization of the complete legacy collection of tangible materials, most of which are held in libraries in the FDLP. GPO, as part of this process, envisions a cooperative, mutually beneficial relationship with either a private or public sector participant, whereby the uncompressed, unaltered files created as a result of this conversion process are provided back to GPO at no cost to the government. I want to reiterate, we did not get any funding for digitization, so this would be at no cost. These files will serve as our digital copies, will be preserved and used for the access of creation of access derivative files through GPO's federal digital system. In exchange, what does the contractor get out of this? What they get is they're able to maintain a collection of these files and use them for their own purposes, recognizing that this content must be made available free of charge through GPO. To help meet this challenge, GPO issued in the past year a statement of work, a request for a proposal was also posted through Federal Business Opportunities. The review of the proposals is now complete, and GPO last week made a decision for an award. In keeping with the request from our Oversight Committee, the Joint Committee on Printing, and because this is a procurement, I'm not able to announce at this meeting who we're intending to make an award to. What we've done at this point is, just before I left on this trip, we forwarded information to the Joint Committee on Printing, seeking their approval for us to go forward. So I will be able to share more information, hopefully in the coming weeks, on this procurement. While we've been waiting on this process, we've also been working with our neighbors at the Library of Congress, National Archives and Records Administration, many other federal agencies, to work on common digitization standards. There's a website referenced in your packet, www.digitizationguidelines.gov, that talk about some of the standards that we've been talking about for digitization, and I'd appreciate any thoughts that you might have on that, because I know there are many, many other digitization projects going on as well. Speaking of that, I want to remind everyone that in the past year we relaunched an enhanced version of the Registry of U.S. Government Publication Digitization Projects. This is at registry.fdlp.gov. What I'd like to see out of this registry is to develop a comprehensive listing of all of the various digitization projects that are going on within government, within the library community, and elsewhere, so that we can have better dialogue and discussion on what each other are doing, and also learn as we establish best practices. I also want to mention, as we're talking about a lot of these other things, that we're not losing sight of our kids' site, Ben's Guide to U.S. Government. We are in the process of doing a relaunch of Ben's Guide and giving it a new, fresh look and feel. A survey was recently conducted to gather feedback on what users want out of Ben's Guide, and we had over 4,000 responses to our survey. Not surprisingly, most of the suggestions asked for more games, more interactive quizzes, more audio and video, but particularly from parents and teachers and educators, there was a call to action to provide more lesson plans and trying to find a way to take government information and put it in a format so it can be more readily used in the schools. We're going to be partnering with our friends at the Department of Education to take advantage of some of their skills and resources as we go through this redesign. We're looking to have some conceptual models of how this will roll out this summer, and I'd like to hear from any of you who would like to be beta testers as part of that process. I also want to take a moment to talk about marketing and outreach. Going back several years to the Council vision document, Knowledge Will Forever Govern, there was a call to action for GPO to work with the library community to better market this program. Last summer, we launched the FDLP marketing plan and the Easy as FDL marketing campaign. If you have not already done so, I encourage you to visit the FDLP desktop, review the plan, take advantage of the free promotional products that we make available, and also take a look at some of the tips and strategies that we're suggesting for how to market your library. In addition, a set of promotional videos are now available on the desktop that you're able to download. Most recently, we did a person on the street video that was both entertaining and also very illuminating about what the general public knows about the work that we're doing. So I encourage all of you to take a look at that as well. Our next endeavor is also to do public service announcements free of charge. We're embarking on a campaign to inform students about depositories using college radio stations across the country. To start this process, we have created an audio PSA, and we're reaching out to a sample of about 20 college radio stations around the country whose campuses have depository libraries on them. From there, we're planning to reach out to more campuses with depositories and eventually branch out to colleges that don't have depositories, to create better awareness. The first of these will be airing this summer. I also want to take a few minutes to mention the FDLP desktop. We're going to be having a couple of sessions on that, but as part of our evolution of the desktop, we've divided it into fdlp.gov and community.fdlp.gov. Since the launch of this site on January 5th, we've had about 200,000 page views. FDLP.gov is intended to provide dissemination of program-related content, services, and news. The community site is more of a social networking site. There's often been discussion at these meetings about creating a sense of community. Where can we go to build expertise and let people know what we have expertise on? The community part of the site is being set up to do that so that we can engage in more social interaction. I appreciate all of you who have gone in and created a profile on that and logged in and taken advantage of it. For those of you who are unsure about how it works, please plan to attend the session that we're going to have where we talk more about that. I also want to mention for a second our pre-1976 shelf list conversion project. The goal of this is to convert the cards in the historic card cataloging system covering U.S. government documents from the 1870s to 1992 to Mark 21 format. The electronic records generated by this contracting activity will be available to FDLP libraries and the broader library community to assist in your efforts to identify and catalog previously uncataloged materials in your collections. Records for a batch of these transcribed cards are undergoing final quality control by Lori staff and will be available in the CGP in the next couple of weeks. I encourage you to go in and take a look at those and provide your feedback. Before wrapping up today, I want to talk about something near and dear to me, which is community outreach. Public access assessments, partnerships, training, upcoming events. The Public Access Assessments Program, being led by Robbins Group, is our individual depository library operation assessment and consultation program. Assessments will be conducted upon request or as need is determined by GPO. But as we're going through that process, if you ever have questions about depository management, how to run your operation, or any question in general, please do not hesitate to contact us. We strongly encourage you to just let us know at any time when you have questions or when we can help you. Partnerships. We have about 18 or 19 official signed partnerships with many of you in this room. These focus on content that is within scope of the FDLP that you house on servers at your institutions. It's within scope of the Federal Depository Library Program. It also focuses on services that you provide that you wanted to enter into partnership with us on. I'd like to double that number in the next year. I want you to please think about things that we can partner on, reach out to me, and don't just look at past precedent in terms of things that we've done in the past, but let's look at new models where we can partner together on various things. I mentioned as well early on the wonderful online programming to all libraries training module that we were able to procure for less than $1,000. I want to thank the libraries that have participated with us in that endeavor. You're able to use OPAL to create your own training sessions working with GPO, and we can help market and publicize those. I've been told by the OPAL programmers that two of the library sessions that you guys did were the most viewed OPAL presentations ever. So please keep those coming. Last but not least, in terms of upcoming events, the 2009 Depository Interagency Seminar will be held July 20th to the 24th at the Government Printing Office. Registration is now open for that event. The Fall 2009 Depository Library Council meeting and conference will be held October 18th through the 21st at our old stomping grounds in Crystal City at the DoubleTree Hotel. And finally, I also have a video I want to show. This is one that I think we might have showed at the last conference, but I think it's important enough for all of you to see again what the value of the FDLP is. And if we could roll that now, I'd appreciate it.
The U.S. Government Printing Office takes great pride in its mission of keeping America informed on the three branches of the federal government. GPO works with the library community to provide free, open, and permanent public access to the documents of our democracy. For nearly 200 years, this has occurred through the Federal Depository Library Program. The public can visit any of the 1,250 Federal Depository Libraries throughout the country and access information on virtually any topic. Finding federal government information is easy as FDL. Free information, dedicated service, limitless possibilities.
Why is it important to have free access, open access to government information? Really, it's at the core of what all of us do as citizens in this country. It's how we vote, it's how we get our driver's license, it's how we pay our taxes. It really is important to be able to go to your local depository library and get the information you need to interact directly with the government.
One of the things that makes federal depository libraries unique as opposed to just your public library or school library is the fact that we're charged with making sure that government information is available for the public.
Just the access that it provides. I mean, think of it, it's a nationwide network. It's already in place throughout the country.
A convenience for the American people. Rather than having to go to the Agriculture Department or the Interior Department or to the countless agencies in our federal government to get information, you can go to one place, one library, and you can pick up any sort of material that you would need.
Documents librarians provide the key to helping members of the public locate the information that they need.
But being a librarian is more than just knowing how to find books and show books to the patrons. Working within the FDLP means that I help lead the public to a wealth of resources they may not have been aware of and didn't know they had access to.
One of the things that you get in a depository library and in depository librarians and the staff is that you not only get the person right in front of you, but you get the backup from the government printing office. You also get the backup from a community of librarians around the country. You get not just the person that's in front of you, but you get 1,200 people who are going to help you find that piece of information.
And individual librarians in our partnership with GPO bring to the program is our expertise, our knowledge, our skills with the materials and the content, and the way the agencies work together.
I can find information to help my dreams come true. I can find information about
medical issues. I might find information about small businesses. I might go in there and find information about my ancestors doing genealogy research. So the possibilities for the user of libraries, whether they walk in the door or access the depository library from their computer at home, the possibilities are really limitless.
Is made up of about 1.5 million items.
We have all the legislative materials, executive branch things, Supreme Court.
Ben's Guide for U.S. Government for Kids.
Children's book published by NASA and the USGS, and it's called The Adventures of Echo the Bat.
Nation from How to Raise Ostriches to the Journals of the Continental Congress.
Botanical Gardens book. And the history of the United States Capitol and Women in Congress book.
To digitize the publications of the Civil Rights Commission.
Consists of paper, CDs, microfiche, microfilm, electronic items.
Public access to government information. Any government document that's within the scope of our program, if you need it, it's available in our Federal Depository Library program.
Well, there are many people who don't know anything about Federal Depository Libraries, so I would say try it, you'll like it. These libraries are treasure troves of government information.
To learn more about Federal Depository Libraries in your area, you can log on to gpoaccess.gov.
I also want to... I also want to thank all of the budding stars out there who participated in that. I think you guys did a great job. Thank all of you for your time and attention today. And again, I personally want to thank you for taking the time to come to this conference. I look forward to talking to you, hearing from you, working with you during the conference and after the conference. Thank you.
I think we really started to push up on the lunch hour, so I'm not sure we have much time for questions. Maybe we can take one question from council.
Either Rick or Bob, I've got to say that what I heard this morning wasn't what I was expecting coming into this meeting, because what I heard as a council member was the depository system is going to end at the end of this month, end of next month, end of this year. But there isn't anything, unless we missed a memo you guys didn't send us, anything that indicates to me that the depository system is ending. Can you categorically stand up and say to these good people here that the depository system has a vital future and y'all are committed to it?
John, we will both answer that one. Okay. Unequivocal, yes. There is a future for the Federal Depository Library Program. And I think if you think about what the focus of today's conference is, it is what does that partnership look like moving forward, and how can we as GPO help those of you in the program do your job better, serve your patrons better?
Rick Davis, GPO. From my perspective, I think that's why we retitled the first session this afternoon, not about survival, but about thriving, because that is our goal. Part of what we're doing with this session, where we're categorizing libraries by type, is looking at things from an individual customer perspective. Many of you represent different types of libraries. Part of our challenge, I think, and it's part of the reason we're developing the strategic plan, is with all of the various interests that we all have, our biggest challenge is trying to gain some consensus, and consensus on the big issues that we can share with our oversight committee, with our appropriations committee, and that you can share with your congressional staff. I think what we need to try to work towards is sending a common message on the things that are really critical and really important, and I think those are the things that will get attention. And I think together with the energy that we have, I think we can do that.
I just wanted to make one comment to close out the session, and Bob had mentioned in his talk that March 4th is the birthday of GPO. I'd heard this before. I just wonder how many of you out there realize that March 4th is the only day of the year that's a command. March 4th. And this is appropriate because depository librarians have long been commanding GPO to march forth into the electronic age. And just in case you're wondering how I happen to know that fact, I happen to share that birthday. So it's really
you're 148 years old.
So it's probably destined that I became chair of Deposit Library Council.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. So thank you all for coming this morning. We'll see you this afternoon.